This is a HeadGum Original.
These are the days that you wish your bed was already made. There's no day that your bed's already made.
Well, she's not saying it's going to happen, that somebody else is going to make her bed. She's just saying that she's wishing for it. These are the days you wish your bed is already made. That's every day.
I disagree. I think she's saying that some days, the only days that your bed is already made are the days that you were so tired the night before or so drunk the night before that instead of getting under your own covers, you slept on top of your covers and you still kind of have to plump up the duvet.
You're making it on a very small scale. But you know what? She's denying herself here. You know that thing that you've heard 100 times in the last couple years from those like productivity gurus? Like, make sure every morning you make your bed because then you start your day with a feeling of accomplishment.
Mm, right. If her bed was already made, she wouldn't get the feeling of accomplishment. It would just be a wish.
Huge downside. She didn't think about that.
Yeah, I mean, this seems like a song that could learn a lot from productivity gurus.
Let's punch it.
It's just another manic Thursday. Yeah, it's his and hers day to listen to podcasts.
This is Punch Up the Jam. This is, as far as I know, the only podcast in the universe where every week we take one of the greatest hits ever and make it even better.
Yeah, baby, this week we got a great one.
And this week we're talking about Manic Monday by the Bengals, and this is a song I hate. I hate it when it comes on the radio. It, of course, it's always coming on the radio on a Monday. And I thought of it.
Because you listen to radio stations that only play 80 songs about days.
No, it's because I only listen to the radio on Mondays. I thought of it because I actually really like the Bengals. And a couple weeks ago, I even picked a Bengals song for my walk-in music.
Yeah.
I picked September Girls by the Bengals, a cover of a Big Star song. And I will say, now we're more than 20 weeks into hosting this, Evan. The YouTube algorithm has really started to warp for me more than 20 weeks into hosting this show. My YouTube recommendations for songs that I want to listen to are absolutely insane now. And like that's how we did Hoobastank's The Reason. Like that popped up in my YouTube recommendations. Never popped up before. And like right when that popped up, I was like, we're doing Hoobastank's The Reason. And YouTube doesn't know I'm now the host of this podcast. They're just like, oh, this guy's music tastes have changed. And now he wants to listen to Hoobastank. Yeah, they're basically right. But Manic Monday popped up in my feed after I listened to September Girls about 20 times in a row on YouTube. And when it popped up, I almost clicked away. And then I thought, no. That's it. And we had even talked about doing Walk Like an Egyptian.
When you started talking about the Bengals, I knew that we were going to end up punching up Walk Like an Egyptian because that song's insane.
Crazily problematic. I do not like it.
How is this a hit in the 80s?
But bizarrely big hit. It was the number one song of the year.
Everyone was walking like an Egyptian.
Manic Monday came on, and I was just like, this is even dumber than Walk Like an Egyptian somehow, but also has a lot less lyrics. The less lyrics dense a song is, the more capable I feel of punching it up. So here we are. We're talking about Manic Monday. Like I said, it's a song I hate, even though I like the Bengals, which makes it a great candidate. There's also something I did not know about Manic Monday that I think makes it a good candidate for being punched up, which is, like Walk Like an Egyptian, another Bengals song I hate, it was not written by the Bengals. They wrote a lot of their material, but this was not written by the Bengals, and it was written by Prince.
Manic Monday.
Yes, like peak Prince. This song is coming out in 1987, when Prince has been putting out hits for almost 10 full years.
Something about Manic Monday is so cheesy and childish that I just always accepted that it was written by a group that would choose to name themselves the Bengals.
What's wrong with naming yourself the Bengals? I mean, the Cincinnati Bengals did it, and look how well it's gone for them.
The Bengals sounds like something that you would name your band if you're 13 and your life is maybe revolving around going to Claire's Accessories. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Huh. I'm into it. And I will say that they went through a couple name changes because of copyright issues. They were originally called The Colors, I think, and then they were even called The Bangs, which was a kind of a reference to them being an all-girl band in L.A. Mm-hmm. At a time there were not a lot of all-girl rock bands. And then right when their first album was going to come out, they found out there was another band called The Bangs. They were going to have to pay to use the name The Bangs, and they changed it to The Bangles, which sounds less like a name you would have for your band if you like going to Claire's Accessories than, frankly, The Bangs.
Bangles is way better than Bangs.
Yeah.
You don't want to be The Bangs.
So Bangles works because their music is kind of jangly. When I think of The Bangles, I kind of think of like their relationship to like late 60s albums by The Byrds or like Big Star. Mm-hmm. And whenever anyone talks about any of that rock and roll music, they're always like, it's jangly.
They do call it jangly.
It's always
if
jangly.
Your guitar has a certain sound, people call it jangly.
Yes, and the bangle.
And also, if you're wearing a lot of bangles, your bracelets are jangling yes. together.
And the bangles be doing jangles. that is for sure. They've got jangly guitars.
Okay, man. Well, walk us through, before we get into what actually constitutes this song, walk us through, like, what is the context here? What is going on when this song comes out? I should have written a segment theme for this, but I'll just riff one, you know. Song facts. Andrew, hit us with some song facts, yeah.
Well, Prince writes the song. He's writing it. This is like during the era where Prince is like making all these super girl groups in Minneapolis.
You're saying this like I'm like really steeped in this. Tell me more about making all these girl groups.
I mean, I kind of have to make a confession first. Which
he's an impresario.
He's an impresario, Prince. He's had a lot of hits by now. He's already had 1999. He's had Raspberry Beret. He's had like 10 other hits that I don't know by 1987. And here's where I'll make my confession, which is I know this is not a good opinion to have. Mm-hmm. I don't even want to have this opinion personally, but I can't help it that I do because opinions are subjective. We don't really have control over our opinions. I would say we have a little bit, but not total control. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even want someone else to have this opinion.
What is it?
I don't like Prince.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
What?
It's not a good opinion. I don't like it. I know even longtime listeners of the pod, the original artwork for the pod was a riff on Purple Rain.
You're so vulnerable for bringing this bad opinion here. To this space.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I don't want to have this opinion, and every couple
Prince
years...
The Prince fans are going to come out of the woodwork and obliterate you. Yeah,
every couple years, I will go and I will like put on a Prince album, and I'll think like I was in the wrong mood, I've changed as a person, I'm going to like Prince now, and it just isn't... It's just not for me.
It's not your bag,
It's
man.
Not for me, like... Every once in a while, like a Prince cover I'll like a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing Compares to You by Sinead O'Connor, like I like a little better. I still don't love it.
Yeah.
But it should be no surprise to anyone, especially me, that the Bangles doing a Prince song is just not going to hit for me in the way that the Bangles doing their own material does, because I just don't like Prince. But I do know in the 80s, he's putting together all these, like, he would hire a bunch of musicians, they'd play in his band, he'd cycle through a bunch of musicians, he'd get a group of them signed to a label, and they'd put out an album, and usually it was not very good, and they'd, like, be in his movies. And I find it all kind of weird, frankly.
I think the thing that's weird about it and that people don't talk about too much is like Prince is kind of this yucky Hugh Hefner figure that's like taking young women under his wing that are really pretty and putting them in a band, and then they're dating, and then they fade away from his life, and he's kind of cycling through it.
Right. And then
again,
they break up, and suddenly the band isn't signed to the label anymore.
Yeah, he's like mentoring them and also dating them.
Ew.
And putting them, like, that's yucky. We don't.
Manic Monday, he originally wrote for one of his super bands, a band called Apollonia 6, that, of course, he's dating the lead singer of. They decide not to do Manic Monday, which I guess is a huge mistake because Manic Monday's a hit. Instead, they do this bizarre song, Sex Shooter, where she's just singing about being a sex slave. Prince is like, I'm going to put you in a band. I'm going to get you signed to a label. And then, could you sing this song about being a sex slave? Like, that is weird to me. I don't like it. I don't really like Prince's music either. But let's not dwell on it any further. We're here to talk about the Bangles and the song Prince wrote. So Prince takes Manic Monday. He sends it to the Bangles. Supposedly he had a crush on Susanna Hoffs, the guitarist and singer, but But the Bangles have denied that. And the Bangles are going...
The Bangles can't deny it. The Bangles can't deny whether Prince had a crush on them. They're really cute, and it's a major weapon in their arsenal.
That's fair. That's fair. Now, Manic Monday ends up being a little bit of a problem for them, and not just because they were late for work, but also Susanna Hoffs, who's the guitarist and sang a lot of the songs. Mm-hmm. The Bengals had tried to cultivate this reputation of like not having a lead singer. They changed vocals a lot. The bass player sang September Girls off the same album that I played a couple weeks ago. And Manic Monday starts a run of like three or four enormous hits that Susanna Hoffs sings.
Okay.
So she does Manic Monday. She sings Walk Like an Egyptian, or most of it. She also sings Eternal Flame, which I did not realize was a Bengals song because it's such a cheesy 80s ballad.
You thought it was
I didn't realize it was a rock song. I thought it was like Gloria Estefan or something.
A lot like Huba Stank's The Reason. You didn't realize how rockin' they were. You thought they were just sentimental ballads.
Exactly. And that kind of starts to drive a wedge between the group. The group eventually breaks up within 2 or 3 years. But Evan,
I don't know what they called this back then, but nowadays we call that the Backstreet Boy conundrum. You know, AJ gets a verse, yeah. Nick gets a chorus, then you throw it back to Brian.
Now, Michaela, I know that Susanna sang the chorus, but when we come back to the second verse...
Yeah, you know, if they just let Susanna go, just another Manic Monday, but then Michaela in the background was like, tell me why! Then the whole thing would work and everybody would be happy.
But Evan, I regret to report that it's now time for your least favorite segment of the show. $5.
Come on, let's just play Manic Monday.
We're playing the theme song. You get $5, $5. So the Bengals break up, Evan. They break up over all this bad will over who the lead singer is.
The Bengals broke up over the Backstreet Boy conundrum.
Broke up, yes. Not the football team, the Cincinnati Bengals. The rock group, the Bengals.
Southern accent's really coming out here. No one can tell the difference between
the Bengals and the Bengals.
The Bengals and the Bengals.
So the Bengals are using their fingers to play the gut fiddle. So they're brought back together, Evan, improbably by a late 90s smash hit film.
What?
When they're asked to perform a song for the soundtrack.
What? A new song?
Yes, a new song. What late 90s iconic comedy,
what?
Which just made so much money, became a major series, three of the movies.
Late 90s comedy that spawned sequels.
Yes, spawned sequels.
Oh, man. I have no idea. Is it Something About Mary?
It is not Something About Mary.
And was there a second? Did Mary have two somethings?
Mary did not have two somethings. Evan, you didn't get $5 this week. You've been a bad boy, and what can I say other than...
Oh, behave.
It was Austin Powers. I wouldn't even brought it into the realm, except it was on our own soundboard, the Austin Powers sample.
I'm so embarrassed.
The craziest thing about this is that as I dug into the Austin Powers Connect a little bit more, Austin Powers exists because of the Bengals.
What?
Because in the early 90s, basically when Susanna Hoffs had a lot of free time on her hands and Mike Myers had left SNL, they created a joke 1960s band that they would perform as.
What do you mean? Mike Myers is getting famous on Saturday Night Live?
He's off Saturday Night Live. He's already famous, but now he's bored because he's not on Saturday Night Live anymore.
And he met the famous singer Susanna Hoffs.
Yes. They're playing in a band with also the famous singer-songwriter Matthew Sweet, if you recall Matthew Sweet's albums of the 90s.
Yeah.
And they do this whole fake 1960s band thing where they all came up with a fake persona for the band. And Mike Myers is like, my guy's going to be named Austin Powers. And like made this whole like dumb 1960s persona up for just being in this like shitpost band with Susanna Hoffs. And his wife was like, you know, this Austin Powers guy is pretty funny. What if you made a movie from him?
Well,
that could be your thing instead of Wayne's World.
So it started as a gag band. This is amazing to me. So then when they actually make the movie, after he pitches it to a studio and they green light it, then they're like obligated. They have to have the Bengals in.
Yes. But also their fake band, which is kind of a real band, Ming T, is also on the soundtrack with Mike Myers and Susanna Hoffs and Matthew Sweet.
Okay, now I'm this rules. I did not know this. Yes. What song did the Bengals do on the soundtrack?
I don't know. It's sad the Bengals were broken up from the late 80s to the late 90s, but there's joy in it Austin Powers, what a contribution to the history of comedy, and if the Bengals had stayed together, it just would not have happened. So the Bengals is off their second album. It's Susanna Hoffs singing it. It's also a sisters band. There's two sisters in the band, Vicky and Debbie Peterson. They meet through a classified ad, just like looking for band members and hit it off. And this is their second album, the album that really blows up. And the album is just enormous. It has Manic Monday. It has Walk Like an Egyptian. It really sends them into the stratosphere, despite me hating the two lead singles.
Manic Monday and Walk Like an Egyptian?
Yes, I think they're both awful songs. But I still like the album somehow. That's how good the album is. The other songs on the album are.
Like Eternal Flame. Is that on there?
No, that's on the third album.
Yikes.
But September Girls is on it.
What's an example of a song that they wrote that you like?
Well, Eternal Flame.
I was noticing a little detail that when Manic Monday came out, it peaked at number 2 on the charts. That's pretty high. That's pretty great. But what was number 1? What was the extremely popular song that prevented Manic Monday?
Torrid Tuesday?
It was Kiss by Prince.
That's rude. That's just rude.
Yep.
But it's pretty badass for Prince to have the number 1 and number 2 song on the charts at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
It really doesn't happen a lot.
The intro to this song is really memorable and catchy, but I just can't get over how cheesy and simplistic it is. Sort of like a kid's piano practice book exercise. Do 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 do. Here's the intro.
It is like the page in your piano book where you learn how to play an eighth note.
We're learning to do scales where you don't have to move your right hand.
I like the vibe, though. It's a good vibe.
You like this just like straight ahead, boom, cheep, boom, boom.
Yeah, the kind of harpsichord sound I like. The gated reverb on the snare. For those listeners that don't know, a gated reverb is like...
Tell me about gated reverb.
Well, a gated reverb is like an invention of the 1980s and like Phil Collins that usually... While a reverb is happening on a drum, the drum would be getting quieter, right? Like things naturally do after a sound happens. They get quieter. But a gated reverb, the snare is getting louder during the reverb. So they have this big gated reverb on the snare. I like the vibe. It's a good 80s vibe.
But here, I have a sample of a gated snare here just for example. It sounds like this.
Yeah, baby. Ooh, we're slapping the bass.
Oh. That's what you get for slapping me with... trivia questions. Austin Powers, that one's gonna sting, man. Here's what a normal snare sounds like. Psh, psh, psh.
Okay.
But 80s snares, they jacked up the gated reverb. Reverb would just make it sound like it's a big empty room. Psh.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But if you put a gate on it, so it's just sustaining that reverb and then cutting it off, then what you have is this really thick sound that lasts for a finite period, like that classic Phil Collins. Psh, psh. And now that's what your snare sounds like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anybody that wants to can just sample what I just did. Put it in their remixes. Those are free snare sounds for you to use now. Here's a bunch of them, just back to back. Anybody that wants to.
Give them a high tom. High tom.
The last one. That last one was in a cathedral. High tom. Do. 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 Do.
Great. Perfect. This is just what the people needed and wanted.
Now, where were we? Talking about jangling.
We were doing jangles with the Bengals.
We were bangling with the jangles.
We're in an 80s rock band, but we play the harpsichord solo.
Now we're finally ready for this insipid lyric. Very well. Got woken up from a dream. Kissing Valentino.
We're going to come back to Valentino.
I personally want to get my own opinion out there that starting a song with Woke Up This Morning sucks. It's the most phoning in version of songwriting. Like you just started with a blank page and didn't know what to write and you were like, woke up this morning. This is an okay version of that because they didn't literally say, I woke up this morning. Prince kind of spun it around a little bit with like 6 o'clock. And then it gets... truly weird and unique.
It would maybe be okay with me if this was the theme song for a show about middle school. That's the only time that you can talk about when you woke up in the morning in a song is when the song is about going to school for a TV show like Saved by the Bell. But the Valentino, I cannot get over, because why is this woman in 1987, the only explanation I can think of for Dreaming of Valentino is, of course, Rudolph Valentino, famous heartthrob. When did Rudolph Valentino die? I looked this up. He died in 1926. Who's having dreams about Valentino in 1987? Nobody.
Maybe it's just a made-up Italian name. You know, you're by a crystal blue Italian stream, and you're just kissing some random Italian guy and just picked a name out. It could have been Fabio. Could have been Antonio.
I guess. I guess Valentino.
Mercutio.
I guess.
You think it's a specific Valentino, the movie star from the original silent film era.
Yes, from The Chic. Maybe I'm too in my head. Maybe Prince just knew a guy named Valentino and just threw that in there. I don't know, but how many guys are named Valentino?
I don't know. This is coming from a guy that subscribes to the Criterion Collection.
Yeah, at least he didn't say I was kissing Rudolph, I guess. That would have been very confusing.
Yeah, then it's a reindeer. If you only say you're kissing Rudolph, everyone assumes it's a reindeer. You Frenched a Reindeer by a Crystal Blue Italian Stream. Nope. That's one of, you know, I gotta say, that's one of the main rules about having a job. You have to go to work, or perhaps you won't get paid.
How late is she gonna be? You could still get paid if you were late, right? I've been late to work before. I still got paid. I maybe was paid less.
Yeah, it depends on your job. If you're punching in late to the Department of Sanitation, you might not make it on the truck. Then you have to call out for the whole day. I wonder what kind of job you think she has. What kind of job does fictional Susanna Hoff have?
I'm imagining kind of a desk clerk, desk jockey job. That's what I'm imagining.
Yeah. I'm thinking she's probably singing about her, you know, her former self. Like, at this point, she's a famous rock star. But maybe she's thinking about, oh, 5 years ago, she was waiting tables or something, you know? In the video, it's sort of like generic office job. Feels like she's a paralegal. If you're a paralegal, you're a little bit late. It's probably fine as long as you get all the paperwork done. You know, you say, sorry, I got stuck in traffic.
It's this kind of line that you think is only there because it's there to rhyme with the next line. But the next line is also so dumb that it only feels like it's there to rhyme with the previous line. Prince was just like trying to think of things having to do with jobs. And he was just like, jobs, 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 jobs. If you do a job, you get paid. Made. And then like, then like 2 seconds later, the lines were written.
It's possible Prince never had a job in his life. I don't know. He's such a savant. It feels like he just sprung into his career fully formed. I don't know what, you know, lawn mowing, door-to-door salesman job he has when he was a kid. But you're right. It does sound like he's like an alien maybe looking at humans saying, like, what is
it about this work that the humans do?
What is a job?
The humans, they enjoy being in the target. Why do the ones with red shirts only get the green paper?
But it's this next line that sticks in my craw so. These are the days when you wish your bed was already made. There's just no such day. That never happens. Maybe if you sleep over at a friend's house, sleep on the couch. You didn't get a good night's sleep then either.
You mean there's no such day when your bed is already made?
There's no day that your bed is already made.
Yeah.
But like, also, if you're this late for work, you just got to skip it.
Yeah.
The Bengals, you got to just run out the door and get to work if you're this late. Just skip that one chore.
Just skip it. Just skip it. You don't have to make the bed. Just leave. Everybody tells you got to make your bed.
Go get paid.
Yeah, go get paid. Go to happy hour after work.
These are the days when you wish your bed was already made.
The harmonies are kind of selling it a little bit. You
just
buy it.
Another manic
Monday.
I wish it was Sunday. That's my fun day.
Run day. I don't have to run day. Now, I will say that.
I mean, what can you say about the rhyming, man?
In a very basic bitch kind of way, if someone says to me, Sunday fun day,
uh-huh,
in the year 2022,
yeah,
I'm like, you're right. You can do some really fun stuff on Sunday. I'm glad you said the phrase Sunday Funday.
Yes, Sunday Funday is a truism.
But I will go to the mat to say that the Bengals here are not saying Sunday Funday.
What?
They're saying Sunday, that's my fun day. There's okay. there's a large space there between fun and day. They could have just say like, Sunday's a fun day, but it's like, Sunday's my fun day. They like put a gap in there to like make sure you knew like, hey, look, we're not trying to coin an idiom here. These are two separate words and we know it. And that's what really makes that rhyme just hateful to me. Just, almost as bad as my I don't have to run day.
My I don't have to run day. I don't know. What do I hate about it? The elementary schooliness of it. It's like just so hot cross bunsy.
Yeah, they even like do a big like landing like emphasis singing like run day. I don't have to run day. That I just can't. I just do not like this chorus. What else is there to say about it?
Yeah, it's a kid's song. Manic Monday, Manic Monday.
And also, like, the whole verse and the whole chorus, we've basically been on the same melodies, right? The whole verse. A little bit different there, but just a note. And the same thing on the chorus is... I mean, like, if Prince is such a genius, as many people have claimed... Couldn't you have thought of a couple more melodies for this song?
I don't know. I mean, I submit to you this clip from his mega hit from 2 years earlier, the song 1999.
No.
Yes. It's the same. It's the same.
I was kissing Valentina by a crystal blue Italian stream.
The
it's
melody
exactly
for 19.
The same.
Yes, it's a huge hit. Great song about like all this futurism and partying. 1999. That song is awesome. Big hit for him in I think maybe 82. And so then he goes off and is just writing tons of songs, like a song a day for all these other groups and stuff.
That's embarrassing.
So it's just completely phoned it in. Wrote the exact same thing. Kissing Valentino. Might as well be the same song. Probably puts on a shelf. Tries to give it to Apollonia. She says no because it's too dorky. Probably she says no because this is like freaking Mary Had a Little Lamb.
She's
buddy.
Like,
Sunday, Funday,
can I sing
Runday?
A song about being a sex slave instead?
What if we did the sex slave one, man? Because my image is about being sexy. My image is not about being a paralegal hot cross buns. Anyway, the thing comes off the shelf and goes to the Bengals that they can make it work with their... great harmonies and their, I don't know, what do they have, a clean girl group image? They, I don't know, they made it work. But Prince phoned it in on this composition, and I can't believe that I couldn't see any reviews or criticism saying, like, this is the same song, this is the same tune.
Did he just know it? Was he like, well, it worked once, might as well try it again.
I'll put
it in a different key. But in 1999, play the next line of 1999. Okay, so this is the same. Here's the next line.
It goes in a sequence down.
At least, it's kind of, I mean, it has the same shape, the melody, but at least it's a different
line. It has the same
line.
Shape, it just went down the next interval.
At least. Prince, if you're going to copy 1999 into Manic Monday, at least bring over that interval lead.
Yeah, Manic Monday is actually more boring than this, because it's just repeating the same thing.
Yes.
For sure. You gotta be at work by 9, yep.
Okay.
Sure enough. If I had an airplane, still couldn't make it on time. 'Cause it takes me so long just to figure out what I'm gonna wear. Oh, it takes me so long just to figure out what I'm gonna wear.
And here's where I'm gonna sound dangerously Republican, which is this is where I start to question the Bengals' sense of personal responsibility.
What? This is where I'm going to sound dangerously Democrat to say, like, how dare Prince write a woman this way, saying that she's late putting on an outfit.
For me, it's just like, well, like, you have this problem. You're not going to be paid. because you're not at work at 9.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like a pretty major problem to me, that you will not be paid at all. You're not going to be docked. Your pay isn't going to be docked. You're not going to be paid at all at whatever job you're working.
Okay.
The sanitation
yeah,
truck
say
is
you're
leaving.
Say you're a train conductor. The train left.
And yet, you're stalling to make your bed. Mm-hmm. You're stalling to pick out an outfit.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can't show up nude.
Yeah.
That's another reason you wouldn't get paid.
Yeah, later we're going to get to some reasons that you were staying up too late on a school night, on a work night.
Yep.
It just seems like she's blaming Monday for being so manic.
Why is
Monday always like this? And yet...
Who could have predicted that I had to go to work on Monday?
Yet she's the one who's taking forever to pick out her outfit, who's making her bed, and staying up late, you know, shagging her boyfriend when she should be sleeping.
Oh, behave.
Come on. I think everybody can get down with the concept of Monday is a bummer. Yeah, Monday stinks. I think what gets under my skin about Manic Monday is something about this song is sort of like suggesting that, like, wow, didn't know this was going to happen. Monday really surprised me
totally.
When Monday showed up.
It's just like the next line that we'll get to in a second. Blame it on the train, right? If you get to work late once, you can blame it on the train.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're late to work every Monday, you can't keep blaming it on the train. That's your own bad judgment about how long it takes you to get to the train, how long it takes you to pick out your outfit, how long the train is going to take, how long it takes you to walk from the train to your job.
Mm-hmm.
After a couple of Mondays, you just got to know that. And frankly, a Monday is like every other weekday. The train doesn't work differently on a Monday than a Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday.
Yeah.
It might work differently than it does on a Saturday or Sunday, but your boss doesn't care what you're doing on your fun day.
Spoken like an experienced commuter.
You gotta build in a buffer on Monday. Build in a buffer!
Can't blame it on the train when your boss is there. He knows. Everyone wishes that every day was a weekend.
I don't have to run day. It's just another manic
Monday. Also, like, clearly Saturday is better than Sunday. But they're just talking about Sunday because it rhymes with Monday.
Yeah.
We could be talking about a lot more days of the week here. I would like there to be more days of the week in our version of this, in the punch-up.
Okay. Great idea for the punch-up. List every day of the week and have an incredibly cheesy rhyme.
There's going to be more days, yeah.
Sure. Everybody knows about Tuesday Booze Day, but why don't we get into Wednesday Friends Day?
Okay, your wish is my command.
Yeah. Friday, Cherry Pie Day. Friday's when we explore the delicate curves and mounds of a thigh.
I thought you were talking about like doing leg day at the gym. Friday is thigh day.
Mm-hmm.
Never skip a leg day.
Yeah. And then Saturday, I don't know what you rhyme with Saturday.
Delt Day.
Saturday
it doesn't
is Delt Day.
No,
it doesn't rhyme. That's
doesn't
just
rhyme.
The gym rule. Saturday is for your traps.
So we're rolling up on the bridge, and I just want to say in advance of the bridge, because the bridge is too dense. I'm not going to be able to say anything over it. It's too dense, which is honestly one of my... I don't want to say complaint with Prince's music, because I don't have a complaint. It's just an opinion, but like...
That's a complaint.
I just don't really like music that is super dense. And Prince's music is very dense, so I hope the Prince fans out there will forgive me that I'm just admitting that we're not a subjective match, but we've had this like super repetitive melody. Like we've hardly had anything new in this song at all, and all of a sudden we hit to the bridge, and there's just all this BS flying at us. It's this totally bizarre composition. Like, why not use some of these ideas in the verse and the chorus? Like, mix it up a little bit. Instead of just having, like, two melodical lines for the entire verse and the entire chorus, and then just, like, throwing this crazy bridge at us, like, spread it out a little bit, Prince, you know?
I don't know, I have to say, it's like Prince was trying to write the most family-friendly song about going to work to your job, but he just couldn't help himself, and he put in a bit about getting down.
He couldn't do it.
He just, it's like the most stereotypical Prince thing is to be like, and by the way, I am definitely having sex in this song.
And it only gets hornier. The bridge only gets hornier.
Come on, just leave it out of this one, man.
And, you know, Is horniness one of the seven human basic needs? Sure. But, hey, tomorrow's Monday. You've been late the last couple Manic Mondays. Maybe just do a better job of scheduling this with your lover. You know, set it up at 9 p.m. instead of 1 a.m. You know Monday morning's coming.
She's blaming her lover. Her lover picked last night to get down. And we'll see what else happens. She has to feed the both of them.
Employment's down.
Wait, what does that mean? Doesn't it matter? I have to feed the both of us. Wow, she's single income for this household
it's so weird. The
lover apparently lives with her. Employment's down. What does that mean?
It's so weird. It's so unnecessary.
Employment's down. That means the converse. Unemployment's up. So her lover can't get a job. That's what she's saying,
right? It's only
because
she's trying to rhyme with get down. But it's also not even like a real rhyme because it's just the same word.
They rhyme down
with
down. To
me, this is just like, I only have an hour to write the song. Okay, it's done. Just didn't even go back and fix it.
Yep, Apollonia, try this
one out. Did the Bengals not feel like they could revise it? Did the Bengals not feel like they could say to Prince, like, this is a really good first draft. We're just going to change a couple things.
Honestly, I bet no. I don't think anybody goes back to Prince and says, like, I have a couple notes. I think you take it or leave it, man. But look, but check out this next bit. He tells me in his bedroom voice. Come on, honey, let's go make some noise. That's the way she delivered that sounds exactly like the way Prince would do it. Come on, honey. Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today. This thing called life. She's doing a Prince impression, but also the way I hear it when it says employment's down, he tells me in his bedroom voice, it sounds like he said employment's down. like he came to her in a husky whisper and was like, employment's down. Let's start humping. There's no jobs out there where there's nothing left for us.
Yeah,
but doing it.
That's one way to look at employment being down. You got a lot of free time on your hands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, huge bonus to Prince fans.
This bizarre arpeggio that the Bengals are singing, is this supposed to be some post-coital or mid-coital impression by the Bengals?
Wait, what arpeggio? Let me roll it back. What point it out when you're
back and to the left. Oh, you'll hear the arpeggio when.
Okay. In his bedroom voice. Come on, honey, dearly beloved.
Okay. Yeah.
Ooh, I like that little harmony at the end. It's really funny.
Oh, man.
A little Bohemian Rhapsody-ish. And then they hold out that harmony. I really like that part, but they really buried it way in the back. Somebody in the background vocal is going, when you're
man, honestly, I'm not a fan of all the background vocals. For me, this just screams band that is still trying to retain the identity of sharing vocals. The whoa, that works for me with everyone singing it, but so many of the other background vocals are just too layered and too dense for me. It's like, we're all late. It's a Manic Monday for all of us. Where truly this is the song about one woman's Manic Monday.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. The whoa stuff is like 50s girl group kind of. You know, like they're having a little retro fun in the 80s. You know, like, oh, we're all going to the sock hop with this boom, cheep, cheep, boom, cheep kind of vibe. And then it really breaks from that musically at the end of this bridge with like totally different harmonies.
Da, 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 da.
Bum, bum, bum.
Oh.
And this little diminished chord here. Yeah. And then they're just back to this 50s throwback thing.
The exact same thing.
They left that little sonic universe that was very Prince-y for about 10 seconds.
Yeah, the love zone. The zone where your unemployed lover comes late.
They went into the love revolution for about 10 seconds.
And like, yeah, time goes fast while you're having fun, and guess what's quickly approaching? Your Monday morning routine. You have 3 hours from 6 o'clock when your alarm is going off. You're in the middle of a dream to get to work by 9. Seems very doable to me.
I don't know, man. This is just one of those things where when Monday rolls around, you wish it was Sunday.
Okay, I'll give you that.
You just do. You can't help but agree with that idea. That's what makes the song so sing-alongable in the 80s and still today. But what is it about this song that's just so simplistic that I find it really annoying?
And why did so many people disagree with it? Why did it become such a huge hit? And before we break, I just want to address the elephant in the room.
The word manic?
No. The cat, Garfield.
I just want to say that, like, this is a hit in 1987. That is like peak Garfield, when the whole country is obsessed with Garfield. And Garfield has made two things national obsessions. One, lasagna. Two, hating Mondays.
Yes.
So is it like, was Prince inspired by Garfield to write this song?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly the chronology of Garfield. Was Garfield inspired to hate Mondays by the song? I think Garfield had already been around for a couple years. But did people hear this song and just think like, this song is just like that hateable, lovable cat I know, Garfield. Just seems like it really, really, really hit.
I hate Monday. I pray that some Garfield stans get into our timeline with some deep, deep chronology around when Garfield started hating Mondays.
Did Garfield ever reference this song as kind of like a thank you or an homage to the Bengals? Like, hey, I hated Mondays. Now you're piling onto Mondays as a homage to me. Did Garfield ever have like a strip where he's like walking like an Egyptian right before he mails Nermal to Abu Dhabi?
It's not lost on me that if you're reading the Sunday colorized strips, Garfield's natural pattern looks very much like a Bengal.
Or as I would call it.
Is there a connection?
Back and to the left.
Or as I would call it, a Bengal. A Bengal tiger.
Yep, a Bengal for a Bengal. Hating Mondays. This Bengal and that Bengal.
How would you say it, Evan? A Bengal wearing bangles? A Bengal wearing bangles, writing with a pen.
It's Banglais.
I can't do it. I just have too many vestigial Southern accent things. Things.
You can't even the word things for you is a minefield.
It is. It truly is. So I think we have a couple ideas here, Evan.
I don't have a place to play. I'm sorry to interrupt you. I don't have another place to play this clip. But I just wanted to play this thing that I found, which is a demo of Prince singing Manic Monday.
Oh, yeah. This was his whole demos thing that just came out a couple of years ago.
Yeah. So like his estate or whatever released all of these recordings, got a million of them. He's writing all these songs for other people when he's at the height of his powers. He's putting out these smash hits, but still just generating like a song a day. And he's got his whole studio set up so he can just demo them. And they're on tape. Anyway, they released Prince's version of Manic Monday, okay, so you can hear his version of the lyric. But he even has it in the same key.
6 o'clock already, I was just in the middle of a dream.
He also will kiss Valentino.
I was kissing Valentino by a crystal blue Italian stream.
Anyway, just what I wanted to share with you is that somebody in Prince's estate just put this out without, you probably can't get back into the original recording session, but there's just some awesome take in here that nobody deleted, and it's like two things are clearly happening here at once at that part in the bridge that we just honed in on. So I'll just play the end of the bridge for you. It just sounds sick.
She tells me in her bedroom voice, come on, honey, let's go make some noise.
What did we just hear?
Oh, man.
I don't know if it's on purpose, the just like banging on the piano keys like that to be like, this is symbolizing sex. Or if it was like a cat walked on the piano while the tape was rolling and nobody ever went back and muted it. I'm crazy about it. Just right there at the end of the bridge. I have to play it again because
it sounds like he's saying something in the arpeggio part, but I can't make it out what he's saying.
When you're having fun, that bit.
Bah, 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 bah. It sounds like he's singing a lyric, but I can't make it out.
Here it is.
Bedroom boys, come on, honey, let's go make some noise.
It's like my country says.
It's I can't resist. That's what it is.
Oh.
Yeah. Come on, honey. Let's go make some noise. I can't resist.
So the Bengals made one revision. They were like, we refuse to say I can't resist.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. They're no sex shooter.
Honey, let's go make some noise. Time goes so fast. Just
It sounds like I played two things at once, but that's publicly released. That's Prince's version of Manic Monday.
So I'm going to go away and punch this up, Evan. We have Garfield. Could go full Garfield here.
I would do a whole song about lasagna. I don't mind that.
I love lasagna.
Yeah.
Could talk just about the poor planning that this individual has in their life.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to see a lot more rhymes with weekdays.
Okay. Weekday rhymes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I like that. I mean, Manic Monday.
I need a lint roller for my Thursday. That's my Thursday. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just you could have these for free.
Punch up!
We're back just in time for a punch up. I'm salivating at this, man. Andrew went away, and I do not know what he's going to play for me. I'm salivating like I'm about to go in and French Valentino. Just ready to go in full tongue.
And Evan, long-time listeners of the pod will know that you and I have a philosophical disagreement about how to punch up a song.
Mm-hmm.
You think that a song punch up should in some way reference the essence of the original song.
Yeah, we're punching up the character of the song. We're making it better. What's bad about the song? We make it better.
Where I think that punch ups of songs should be about the plot of the movie Point Break. I was like, you know the meme of the kid with the veins sticking out of his forehead, like trying really hard not to do something?
Yes.
I felt like the veins kid this week not making the punch up about how much Garfield loves lasagna. Just like da-da-da-da-da, lasagna, da-da-da, cooked by an Italian mama. Oh, it was there for the picking, ripe. It even kind of fit, but I said no. What would Evan do? This is going to reference the essence of the song, but I hope you have the generosity of heart and spirit to give me a pass on my next one.
That's why all those capillaries are burst in your eyes.
Yeah, the next time I bring in an absolutely insane punch that's about the record of the 2014 Houston Rockets, just think about how well-behaved I was.
It's one
for
one.
Manic Monday, how well-behaved I was for Hoobastank's The Reason.
It's a one-for-one trade. You get a pass.
One time.
Okay, I see you stuck with the harpsichord.
At 9 p.m. before doom, scrolling for 6 hours on my phone. I think I'll hit the snooze button till 7 or maybe 8. These are the days you double down on the choices you made. The consequences of my actions. Brings me dissatisfaction. I'd be having more laid-back fun, except the consequences of my actions. Have to get to work today at the exact same time as every other day, but I'm stuck in the Starbucks line.
Who could have known?
This external problem is in the grand scheme of things, what's 1 or 2 or 3 hours? The consequences of my actions have caused a chain reaction. That brings me dissatisfaction. I'd be having more laid back fun, except
accept the consequences of my actions.
Life would be great except for the things I did. Oh, you did it! I thought you forgot about my rhymes.
Voice. Clear out your desk. You have half an hour till I call security. The consequences of my actions have caused a chain reaction that brings me dissatisfaction. I'd be having all laid back fun except the consequences of my actions have caused a chain reaction that brings me dissatisfaction. The consequences of my actions.
Why do these things keep happening to me?
Why is my life going this poorly? Why do these things keep happening to me when I do the same things? The world just keeps bringing me these manic Mondays. Yes. The punch-up was perfect. The consequences of my actions. Who could have seen them coming? Who would have known?
Who would have known that,
I'd be late?
Staying up till 2 a.m. in the goddamn morning, I would have a hard time waking up the next day. Who could have known?
Nope. I can't skip going to Starbucks.
Yeah, I mean, well, I'd planned to do that.
I had planned to. That was part of the plan. How am I supposed to work if I don't go to Starbucks?
I know I was supposed to leave my house at 8, but then I left at 8:15. I still needed to execute every single part of my plan.
And my boss should have known about
that. And the line was a little long, so now I'm just showing up in the conference room at 9:30 for the 9 a.m. meeting holding a half-full Starbucks cup with my name written on it. This is not something I got out of like a – this is not something I got at the office out of like a shared – Starbucks purchase.
Yeah,
you're proudly displaying
the badge of this is what I just spent an extra 30 minutes doing.
This is a custom order. This is a custom order. My name got on it.
Yeah, this is not the drip.
Yeah, but I want to thank you, Evan, for encouraging me to put more rhymed weekdays in this.
I kind of pressured you at the last second. I was feeling a little guilty about that. You know, I did put a little pressure on you.
I did not do Thursday, Thursday. It was a little bit of a reach for me, unlike the line I put in, which is not a reach at all.
That would have gone Garfield-y. I was angling Garfield-y. What do you have in this bridge?
Booze Day Tuesday.
Friends Day Wednesday.
Yeah, I've got to leave early for those two events.
To see your friends.
Booze Day Tuesday starts at 5, yeah. And Friends Day Wednesday starts at 5, so I have to leave work at like 4:45, 4:30, maybe between them, just a couple minutes early.
Then you invented a new one here, Horseplay Thursday.
And that, I don't know why, but that just... I had a hard time getting that line down because I just think it's really funny. The idea of on Horseplay Thursday, wrestling your dumb boss down to the ground.
Yeah, it's a day for wrestling. It's like you go out to happy hour, you do a little wrestling.
Yeah, maybe you're still a little drunk from Booze Day Tuesday on Horseplay Thursday.
Well, there's drinking at all these, to be clear. This is one of those, we work hard, play hard kind of offices. So each one of these has drinking.
What this song is really uncovering is that whoever sings this song and maybe whoever sings Manic Monday just has a drinking problem.
Yes, they're alcoholics. That's implied.
You show up for Horseplay Thursday.
We didn't talk about that, but that was implied in Manic Monday as well. They're clearly an alcoholic. They cannot get out of bed. They're in denial about everything in their life. It's unmanageable for them.
Yes. But you wrestle your dumb boss down to the ground, and then you just cannot believe that your boss tells you in his dumb boss voice, clear out your desk. Bosses don't like Horseplay Thursday. It's a liability for any corporation, a Horseplay Thursday.
If your boss does like Horseplay Thursday, call the union.
That's an issue for OSHA. Call OSHA.
You got a real OSHA problem, yeah. And then it was OSHA Friday.
I also thank you for pointing out the 1999 rip-off ofness of Manic Monday.
Prince ripped off himself. He's coming up with so many melodies, he forgot he already wrote it.
But Manic Monday was a worse version of 1999, first of all, because the lyrics are dumber, but second of all, because
it's just about one day instead of a whole year.
Yes. But it's also because it has more of a melody, 1999. He had more than one melodic shape for his first phrases.
Least, yeah, he at least moved it around a little bit.
So I was like, so I thought, if our punch-up is ripping off 1999, I might as well do a more accurate rip-off of 1999. And the melody for the verse here is just the melody for 1999.
Yes!
There's two melody lines.
Yes! You just fully put the 1999 melody into Manic Monday, and it helped.
Yes. I think it did. I think this is better. This came on my radio on a Monday morning. I would 100% start planning ahead to wrestle my dumb boss down to the ground on Thursday. And also, frankly, I'd consider skipping the Starbucks line on the way to work. Get to work a little more on time.
And you can plan ahead for Friday, get fired day. Hey, baby, I'm home. Unemployment is up. Start humping. And then I'll be super tired on Monday. What is your walking in
music? That's right. We have punched up our jam. And so it's time to close out our show with a little palate cleanser, a little falling action.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about our walk-in songs, Evan. A segment that I, in my heart of hearts, thought we were only going to have to do once.
Yeah. And here we are. This is like the 20th time I made you walk in.
Yes. I thought this was a segment that our guest was going to get to do every week. We would only have to do once because every person should only have one walk-in song.
Mm-hmm.
But now I've had to come up with more than 20.
Oh, man. We'd be bilking our audience out of the chance to hear 2, 3, 4 songs every episode if we just made our guest bring in one. And then what would we do in this case where you're punching up for me? We don't have a guest.
And our scenarios have gotten at times more and more fantastic. But you've pointed out correctly, this isn't just about our fantastic scenarios. It is also just a way for us to recommend some of our favorite songs of all time.
My scenario is, imagine if you were going to work and instead of complaining about it, how did I know I was going to have to go to work again? Where did this day come from? Imagine if you used that opportunity to hit play on a song that just friggin' pumped you up, man.
Okay.
And put you in a sunny can-do attitude.
All right.
That's what my walk-in song is. I'm walking in to Monday to Bang Bang by the Joe Cuba Sextet. This is my going to work music. This is my walking into the office. Beep, beep. Beep, beep.
I'm just going to say, this is a really fun stereo mix. I hope our fans are listening in headphones.
This puts me in the spot.
Some really fun stuff happening in my right ear and my left ear.
This song will put me in my spot every time. And if I blasted a song while I came in to the office, everybody's ready for that 9 a.m. status meeting and just lit up, fired up, ready to go, ready to talk about some flow charts.
If this is your walk-in song to the office, you're the guy who's getting in first, putting on a pot of coffee, and getting so many plaudits from your coworkers as they come in, and you're just dishing out hot cups of coffee. They're so appreciative. They love you. They know you're a guy who's not just there for his week, but there for their week, and they're even considering, like, maybe I was too cynical in the group chat last week on Wednesday Friends Day. When I was telling everyone that my boss insists on calling it a, quote, team meeting. We're not really a team. You're passing out cups of coffee and they're thinking, maybe work is my team.
I'm bringing in a dozen donuts, getting them all jacked up on sugar, ready for Horseplay Thursday. That was Bang Bang by the Joe Cuba Sextet.
I love that.
Yeah, all-time fave from Joe Cuba, the conga player and founder of the genre, some say, of the genre Latin Boogaloo.
So here's my walk-in scenario, Evan. My walk-in scenario is I've just come over to my girlfriend's house.
Mm-hmm.
She loves me very much. Unfortunately, I'm not employed right now. I don't have a job. So I woke up at noon. I've come over to her house at 1 a.m., which is, you know, I texted her about 30 minutes before, you up? And she said, yes, but I do have to get up very early tomorrow morning to make it to my job on Monday
on time because I'm supporting both of us because employment is down. But I walk into the front door of her home and I play.
Ooh. Is this your bedroom music?
And she has her hair up in a bun, but this song goes on, and she just shakes her hair out of a bun.
Wow.
And I say, honey, let's go make some noise. This is a Wider Shade of Pale.
Wider Shade of Pale.
By Procol Harum. If you're a person of a specific generation, which I am, you almost exclusively know this song from...
You're a baby boomer?
If you're the child of a baby boomer, you know this song because it is on the soundtrack to The Big Chill.
Oh, okay.
Like, Procol Harum is not
The Big Chill soundtrack is, like, the most famous oldies compilation.
Yes. Procol Harum has not had staying power, but this song has. And this song rules. I love it.
What about this song... to you says seduction in a way that Manic Monday does not.
I think the soft organ sounds combined with the vocals don't make any sense, so they can't really distract you. It's almost like listening to a song in a foreign language, because after like two lines you're like, oh, this is nonsense. It's also to me a very
so
romantic
take you out of it. That's great. Yeah, you can just focus on your pelvis.
A historically romantic song. I think it's a known thing that this is one of the first songs that Paul McCartney and Linda McCartney heard on a jukebox on one of their first dates, which I find very romantic.
Ooh.
So, I mean, if Sir Paul knows this is a romantic song, like, he's right.
That's it. You're taking your romantic cues from Sir Paul. It's good enough
Paul
for
and
Sir
Linda.
Paul and Linda. It's good enough for you and this fictional bun-wearing Dr. Quinn medicine woman.
Yes. Yeah, she has ruffles all the way up the front of her nightgown that's tightly cinched and buttoned around her neck.
Mm-hmm.
She thought she was going to bed early, but nope, she's about to have another Manic Monday.
Oh, because you unemployed prankster,
yes,
are keeping her up late.
And I'm not an unemployed prankster in this scenario. I'm an unemployed Lothario.
You're an unemployed Valentino. Coming in for some Frenching.
Yes, exactly. I am a Valentino in this situation.
Great pick, man. Wider Shade of Pale by Procol Harum.
I love it. It doesn't make any sense, but it works for that song. That's our show this week.
That's a great episode, man. Put this one in the Punch Up the Jam Museum. Gotta say, we punched a jam. I'm feeling great about it, and I have a song that I could play for so many reasons when I think about the consequences of my actions.
I'm over here being the ultimate Lothario, and here you are calling our own episode good, just displaying the biggest virgin energy.
I'm doing it on your behalf. You did the punch up. I'm flattering you like I would flatter my own virgin
if
self.
You like the punch up as much as Evan does. You can get it on our Patreon. That's patreon.com/Gregory Brothers. All the punch ups are there, and there's even some fun stuff like lyrics for dumb punch-ups that we decided not to do at the last minute.
Oh, there's no better consequence for your actions than getting to download this punch-up and the one about missionary sex we did for Backstreet Boys. They pair together well.
Oh,
that's like a Gouda and a Pinot Noir.
So go get the punch-ups there. You can follow the podcast at Punch Up the Jam on Instagram and Twitter. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at A Rose Gregory.
I'm at Get Some Evan. So next time you're commuting to work and you accidentally miss that train, or you make an extra Starbucks run, you happen to have another hour on your hands because you missed the train, consider writing this podcast a review. Drop us a few stars. Subscribe. Send it to your mom, your dad. This has been Punch Up the Jam.
You've been listening to Punch Up the Jam.
That was a HeadGum Original.